favorite player. Why some choose to play it safe? But check the resume, it's risky business in the A. I keep it player. Why some choose to play it safe? But check the resume, it's risky business in the A. In the A. In the A.
All right, welcome to the ATL Podcast. I am Dion Rabowan, digital editor for the Atlanta Daily World, and I recently had a chance to sit down and talk with Lee Daniels. He's the director of the upcoming or soon to be released or will be released today film, The Butler. It's an amazing film. It stars Forrest Whitaker, Oprah Winfrey, John Cusack is in it, Vanessa Redgrave, Jane Fonda, James Marsden, Robin Williams is in it. I don't know how many Oscar winners they have. Cuba Gooding Jr. Anyway, and what you'll find out from Lee during the course of this podcast is they all worked for a pretty significant pay cut. The budget on this film was very small. And all these actors, he said, were essentially activists, and they were working because they believed in the project. And one of the reasons I wanted to make this a podcast rather than just a print piece was because I think it's so powerful just to hear the words come straight from him, from his mouth. And when you first hear Lee's voice, he just jumps in. And it's because, actually, the first question I asked him, I guess he wasn't comfortable with the answer he gave. He asked us not to use it. The second question I asked him was just how this movie had played, because he said he had screened it for the Bushes, Barbara and George Sr., and you know, other audiences. And so he was talking about how it's been received by the audiences that he's seen it with. And so we'll just jump right into that. The other voice you'll hear on this tape is Talia Buford from Politico, and she was in there with me, and you know, so that's the other voice you'll hear. But right now we'll just jump right into the answer to his question about how this film is being received and how he's seen it with audiences. So without further ado, this is the ATL Podcast with Lee Daniels.
It plays differently. Sure. And so for our experience, we can let white people don't know, well, you can quote this, I mean, they're not comfortable laughing at some of the things that we are comfortable laughing at, because mm-hmm. there's nuance and made for us. So we can laugh at it in ways and understand it in ways that white people can't. So I've been watching it and like, half, please laugh. This is a joke, it's not that serious, y'all. Don't, you know what I mean? You know, because our ancestors laughed through the pain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we laughed when we made it. Because if you take it too seriously, I mean, you know, it's a sad story.
Right.
Anyway.
Wait a minute. Well, what were some of your favorite scenes to shoot?
My favorite scenes? So all of them are great. All of them are, to me, all of them are my favorite scenes. It's like asking whether I want my finger or my ear. They each meant something different to me, you know. Mm-hmm. I would get emotional when David meets his dad, when they come together. And, you know, time is money, and we don't have money for this movie. We didn't have enough money for this movie. And so I didn't have the luxury. If a white filmmaker had done this film, we would have had the luxury of more money. Mm-hmm. And that's a testament of time and where we are right now in Hollywood mm-hmm. and everything. So I didn't have time to feel. You know, there were times when I wanted to cry. I was so moved, but next, gotta shoot the next scene. Yeah. Let's get up and go. Crew, let's hit it. And so some of the scenes, I think when Vanessa, I'm so honored to work with Vanessa Redgrave, she's been knighted by the Queen of England, and as she bends down and she holds that little boy's hand in her face, I mean, what actress would dare do such a bold thing of her caliber to come in and say, I'm going to teach you how to be a house nigger? I went, oh, wow, I can't believe I got her to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. With Jane Fonda, you know, I mean, Oscar winner. Over and over, we have so many Oscar winners in this movie, and Jane Bond is working for me and everything. I'm looking over my shoulder thinking, she goes, yes sir, and I'm like, I'm looking over my shoulder, who's sir?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Many pinching moments. So there were many moments throughout the film that I was that are my favorite moments.
Okay.
I don't have a favorite moment. They're all great.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. You mentioned in the round table that, you know, a lot of the people in the film are activist actors. You know, they came through this because they didn't have the money, you know, but they didn't have the money to pay them on the level they normally would get. Was it important for you to get people that, you know, kind of have this political bent, or was it just kind of a function of the way that the movie came about and the story itself?
It was God looking over me. Mm-hmm. It really was. It was God looking over me that this movie was made as a miracle. I don't think you really understand it. Mm-hmm. Hollywood did not want to do this movie. So it's a miracle that this movie was made. We had to go out and raise money, which is what, I don't have a problem. That's what I do. I do that only. I've done it from my first movie to today. 15 years I've been doing this at the game of raising money for a cinema that I believe in and stories that I believe in. But this one, one would think it was easier for me with the accolades that were bestowed upon the precious. Mm-hmm. And it was even harder to, it was like, are you really? I mean, how much money I got to make, y'all, before y'all realize that, you know, I'm not going away. I'm like a roach in a what you call it, the atomic bomb happens, they survive. Yeah. I'm here. I'm lasting. I'm coming back with bigger. You know? Uh-huh. So it was sort of sad. What was the question?
Well, I was going to ask, you kind of speaking on that, I mean, why do you think that it was so hard to get this movie made? Do you think it's because of kind of the political undertones, or what do you think it was?
I just think that I didn't think it made for the studios. It made fiscal sense for them to finance a film at that budget, even though the budget was small.
Mm-hmm. What was the budget?
The budget was $25 million, which is more money than I've ever had on a film before, but the story spans how many decades? Exactly. So I'm used to telling $2 million movies, you know, making $2 million movies, which is a movie about a summer or a week or a year.
Yeah.
You know, the most, but 80 years has not been I've never done anything like that before.
Exactly. For sure, that makes sense. Can you talk, you mentioned it in the round table, kind of with the recent voting rights decision that came down recently. I mean, what do you think is the importance of having this film at this moment in history and kind of where we are today in politics?
It goes back to what I was telling you, that God was looking over me for the film. You know, like, I just do a movie because I didn't do this movie for the civil rights thing or the movement, or I did the movie because it was a love story between a father and a son. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm having issues with my son right now. I had issues with my father. So at the core of it, it was a father-son love story, you know, and I could relate to that. And I thought it was universal. It transcended black. Father-son is father-son. So I wasn't looking at it as anything but a love story between a father and a son and getting back together with the backdrop, as I said earlier, of the civil rights movement. And it wasn't until I was in the edit room and the Trayvon Martin thing came down, and I thought about those words, you know, that we have in the film. Any white man can kill a black man at any time and get away with it. And I went, ain't nothing changed. Mm-hmm. And when I did my movie, there was hope. You know, I wanted to, you know, as with Precious, you know, you end with hope. You know, there's hope for her. There's hope for America. Mm-hmm. And then I went, oh my God, is there hope? Mm-hmm. You know, and that was really a very upsetting moment for me. And then worse was when I then started screening the film. We had a great time shooting this scene with Lyndon Johnson. You know, but he did something incredible for the African, for us, with the voting rights bill. And then they took it away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, my grandmother, if she wants to go in and she ain't got her ID, and some white man is sitting there, she ain't gonna vote. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just where it's at right now.
Yeah.
And that's been passed by Congress. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I can't believe I'm having this conversation with y'all right now, because this is not even happening. It's almost out of body.
Yeah.
I feel like this is some crazy shit. That's like, wait a minute, you know what I mean?
The line from the film that really hit me, and it was something I heard a lot of people saying after the verdict came down, was, and I wrote it down, the law wasn't on our side, the law was against us.
Yes.
You know, and that it was just like, wow, was that something that was in the original script, or was that something that you just...
No, that was in the original. And also, here's the thing, too. I lost my train of thought.
So you said that wasn't the original script, and it just happens to kind of work also.
Yeah. I guess what's upsetting is that the... I've lost my train of thought.
Now, another thing I noticed also that kind of related to today was the this thing with Paula Deen, and particularly she said, I wanted to have a plantation style southern wedding, you know, yeah, supposedly with a bunch of little, you know, Negroes dressed up, and to see that depicted, what that looked like and what that must have felt like, you know, it, that just really hit me. Was that something also that was sort of intentional for now, or did that just, was that part of the just the scene you were shooting?
It was. Look, guys, this is what I was going to go back to earlier. You know, you all are too young to really know. And I'm not saying it condescendingly at all, because, you know, my kids don't understand. My son doesn't understand why it is that he's followed in the 7-Eleven. He don't know why. He says, damn, why are people looking at me at 7-Eleven? You know, I live in New York City, and we take taxis, and so as we get around, and so... We've been in soccer games when they were kids, and so I'd be here with my kids from soccer. A white dad would be there in front of us, and another white father would be with them. Cabs would drive by us to go to the other people. And so it's, you know, it is what that does is it chips away at your self-esteem. It chips a very subliminal way of saying that you're less than. Mm-hmm. It's deeper than what we understand, and so I think that somewhere subconsciously, why I did the movie was to somewhere subconsciously, even though it was a father-son story, but it was really to address having, because I'm too embarrassed to talk to my son to say that people, you know, this is not, I don't know how to have that conversation. I'm gonna keep it real with you. I haven't had that conversation with him to answer the question as to why. Yeah. It's worse than having the birds and the bees conversation. Because I don't know how to tell my son that he's less than. Because I don't want him to feel what I'm feeling. Which is less than. If I can't get picked up, you know, that he's being followed. And yet, I think this movie is very healing. Because it gives me the ability to, for me to feel free to explain to him why. And I'm going to have that conversation with him pretty soon. He loved the movie, so I can have a very open, kind of candid conversation about race in America. Because all of his friends are white, so he can't figure it out. You know what I mean? He don't. You know, he hangs out with white people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He don't come from my world.
Sure.
Anyway.
No, it sounds all right. Where did you grow up?
Philadelphia. She's the gatekeeper.
So my mom's from Mississippi, and she didn't grow up. Quite. I mean, I guess she was more so.
She's going to understand the film.
She exactly. I mean,
she's going to really
not
understand
as old
the film
as the butler, but maybe well in her son's age more so. Mm-hmm. And I guess what kind of conversations do you hope this sparks? I mean, obviously you talked about the conversation you want to have with your own son. Mm-hmm. I mean, would you hope that what conversation do you hope it sparks within the Black community? And I think within if the political community, if you think that there is a conversation that needs to be started.
I think that these kids, what they did, I think that what happened to heroes. What happened to these? What happened to the concept of doing the right thing, of standing up for what you believe in? You know, what's happened is that they have systematically broken us down. They have torn down schools. They have built up prisons. They have made us feel like crap, so that we are on drugs and that we're doing vile things. And I live in a place. I'm so blessed because I have a house in Los Angeles, I have a house in New York, but I don't forget from where I cometh from. I don't forget the projects, and I look forward to going home to my mother and to my family. And I see the decay that is there and what that does to one's mind. I'm a rarity. You all are rarities. And I don't think you understand it, that we're all sitting here in this fancy hotel, you know, conducting this interview, and we're talking about this movie. We are rare people. And I and we are the minority. I get emotional talking about it because it's so unjust, and I'm frustrated.
No, it's not something you think about. I mean, constantly.
You don't want to think about it because it's too dark. Who wants to think those ugly thoughts? How can you get up and go to work thinking those ugly thoughts? Yeah. And do your own thing.
Yeah, I'm from Flint, Michigan, and I think about the awesome because I don't go home that often because I don't like to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just like, you know, I can kind of be in my world in D.C.
Yeah.
and kind of have that
generation.
And forget that this is the 2013 that we live in, that people can still live in this kind of poverty or in this kind
of... The majority of us, 80% of us, 80% of us, we are we, and we may not think it's enough. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm curious now, you said you've screened this for only white audiences.
Well, I did say screen it for when I say I can't
like
afford, I can't screen it for in big houses, like, you know, with the Bushes, it was 500 people.
Right.
And, I haven't screened it for like 200 black people. So that if I screen it for black people, it's for small, like, audiences. The theater's this big, and, you know, 20 people, 30 people at the most.
Sure.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Last question.
That threw me off. I actually didn't have another question. I was actually going to tell you, like, oh, well, we're actually screening it this afternoon.
What time?
I think it's at, like, 2.
They got me booked. You know, I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, but I was going to say, you can pop in for a second. It's at Disney, but I don't know. Do you have anything else?
I was just going to ask you if any of the white audiences have said to you flatly that they didn't like it. Because any of the audience you screened it for, you said we've screened it with large white audiences, like the Bushes. If anyone has said to you flat out they didn't like it, or that...
Or that anything was uncomfortable or hard to watch. Or
no,
anything.
I think the only thing that's upsetting to me is that, and these are relatives that have seen the film, saying, is that this really happened? This is a movie. This didn't really happen. And I think that's because we ain't been taught, right?
Mm-hmm.
That there's a disconnect. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You're educated.
Yeah.
Some people are not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some blacks are not. Some kids are not. 30-year-old nephew of mine said, "Uncle, this is a good movie, y'all. Did it really happen?" Very seriously.
Right.
That's crazy.
Thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You're very kind.
Thank you so much.
Okay, man. Thank you so much for your
time. Oh, man.
It was dope.
It was.
All right. Have a good day.